says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. So there's two bad decisions that's made in that verse that he made. He made the bad decision, first of all, to do evil and not follow God. And the second bad decision is that he married this woman, Jezebel, who was the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, who would certainly lead him to worship Baal and other idols. And as we find out later, this is a very wicked, a very sinful, a very terrible woman. When we come to chapter 21, now that he is married to her, because he made the decision to not obey God, he made the decision to marry this wicked woman, now that he is married to her, he's going to get into even more trouble. In chapter 21 and verse 1, came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house. And for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you." So Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food?" He said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" All right, so he has done evil in God's sight. He's married Jezebel, very wicked woman. And now here this opportunity is that he wants this vineyard. And the first part of the story is because the man won't sell it to him, that he begins pouting about it. Where he lays down, he turns his head away, and he pouts, and his wife asks him, what are you upset about? And he says, "You won't give me the vineyard." Now, I just spent a week in Katy with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and they have twin girls. They're three. And whenever one of them doesn't get their way, that's what they do. They pout about it. They don't get the toy. The other one gets something they don't. They tear up. They turn their faces away. They throw themselves on the floor, whatever. That's what little kids do. Well, this is a king who has been influenced by this wicked, horrible woman who's now acting like a baby. And you could say that attitude would be a bad decision. But then as we go a little bit further, when it says in verse 7, Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letters, saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'You have blasphemed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him that he may die." Now the next bad decision that he made, and it's probably more than three by now, that Ahab made, is that in Jezebel doing this, she was going to have Naboth put to death for not giving Ahab the vineyard. because he was pouting and crying about it. And so there's another bad decision that he goes along with. Now, all of these things could have been stopped if, first of all, he would have served God. If, second of all, he never would have married Jezebel, who was the son of the Sidonian king, or the daughter of the Sidonian king. And if he never would have cried to her about Naboth's vineyard, Naboth would still be alive, and everything would be a whole lot better. But each step of the way, bad decisions are causing bad things to happen. And we see that all through Ahab's life and his wickedness. And then one more we're going to look at is the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. And we know that story where the prodigal son decided he was going to take his inheritance, verses 11 through 13 of chapter 15. He decides he's going to take his inheritance and he's going to go off and use it however he wants to use it, wasting it away. He made the bad decision, first of all, to leave home early with and getting the inheritance early and taking it. Then he made the decision to squander it away, living the way that he was living. So each one of these, again, were bad decisions. Well, when we go to the good side of this, and we're going to just kind of briefly mention the good decisions that were made. The good decision of Moses, and it's the story is told in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in a brief way, where it says that when he had the opportunity to stay in Egypt and to enjoy the riches of Egypt, to be able to live in the luxury that he lived in Egypt and continued to do that, he chose, instead of taking part in what the Hebrew writer says are the passing pleasures of sin, he chose to be with his people, to leave the sinful things of Egypt behind and to live, forsake Egypt, I guess you could say. He chose to do that. And in doing that, he became the leader of God's people. He led them through trusting in God, teaching about God. So Moses made a good decision in that. Joshua made the right decision in Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 through 24, when he challenged the ones he was leading, that they had a choice to make. You can either leave and serve the false gods, or you can serve God. And what is it that Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the right decision to make. He made a good decision in that case. Solomon made a good decision when in his life, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, the Lord asked him, what would you like me to give you? And instead of saying riches, instead of saying power, he said, give me wisdom so that I can rule well as king. He's now king. He wants to know how to rule and rule well. So give me wisdom, he says. Well, in doing that, the Lord went ahead and gave him the riches and the power and the honor and so forth. But in asking for wisdom, that was a good decision to make. That was the right decision to make. So each one of these three made good decisions. But remember the prodigal son, we can put him back up there for a good decision. He made a bad decision earlier, but now he's going to make a good decision. Because remember when he's off and he gets so low that he's feeding the hogs, and not only that, he doesn't have anything to eat, so he eats what they're eating. And he says, I would have it so much better at my father's house as a servant. So he turns around and he goes back home, and his father welcomes him with open arms. That was the right decision to make, to go back to his father's house. He made a bad decision first, but now he's going to come back with a good decision. Now, this is another interesting thing. Moses made a good decision in going back to his people instead of staying in Egypt. But we all know about Moses' bad decision, don't we? Which caused him to lose out in being able to go into the promised land. Where he was told when the people were crying and asking for water and complaining, and he was told to speak to the rock. And instead he struck the rock, which he had earlier been told to strike the rock to get water out. But now he's told to speak to the rock. And he strikes it instead. And not only that, he takes the credit for it. He says that he is the one giving them the water instead of giving the credit to God. That's a bad decision. Joshua made a bad decision in Joshua chapter 9. And we might quickly turn there to Joshua chapter 9 in regard to this bad decision that Joshua made. Joshua chapter 9, and looking down through this particular chapter, it has to do with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were he made an actual treaty with the Gibeonites, whereas he was supposed to destroy them. He made a treaty that he would save them instead. And he decided that he would let them live without consulting God about it. And he just decided, well, I'm going to kind of go on my own and do it my way, and I'm going to allow them to live. And in fact, by the end of the story, they make a covenant with him so that he continues to allow them to live because of this covenant. Now again, all of this is against what God has said, but he's going to do it his way anyway. So this is the man who, we already said, stood up and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But in this case, he doesn't serve the Lord very well, because he goes off on his own and does things his way instead. And then, of course, we go to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. Remember all the wives and the concubines he had? Remember what all those wives and concubines did? They convinced him to follow false gods. They convinced him to turn from the true and living God, to turn to idols instead of God. So here Solomon is making a good decision and asking for wisdom at one point in time, but making a bad decision in allowing them to influence him to idolatry. And we already mentioned the one about the prodigal son. Now I say all that to say this. The fact of the matter is that there are times when we're going to make good decisions, and there are times when we are going to make bad decisions, and that's because we are human. It's because we're not perfect. We don't always do things the right way. But as we think about that, we need to apply this in this way. When making our decisions through life, we need to make sure that we don't make decisions suddenly. Making a rash decision is usually not the right thing to do. And sometimes, you know, we may hear something and say, "Oh, well, I need to do this," or "I need to do this," and just off the cuff, off the moment, think to ourselves, this is right. But then guess what? When you think about it for a little bit, and you start kind of seeing what the implications are of it, what might come up, then our mindset might change. Because a decision may affect our entire life that we make, and we don't even really think it through because it's just off the cuff. I'm going to do this, and you know, you can't stop me. I'm going to do it this way. For example, we may decide that we're going to take a job. Like something comes up, this job comes up, and we're like, oh yeah, that's a great job. I'm going to take it. As soon as we hear about it, we say, I want this job. I'm jumping at it. I'm taking it. But then when we start seeing what the job entails, before we even really, because we haven't weighed it, we haven't looked at it carefully, we may realize, well, by me taking this job, I'm not going to see my family as much as I used to. Or I'm not going to be able to attend church services as much as I used to. Maybe it's going to prevent me from going to church at all on Wednesday night. Or it's going to prevent me from ever going to church again on Sunday morning. Because we haven't thought it through. We haven't really examined all the consequences of it. And so we must not make rash decisions. So as yes, we're going to have to go ahead and decide, but we need to think about it. You know, we've seen and have probably done, you take out a sheet of paper and you write pros on one side and cons on the other side and line down the middle and start writing what the pros and the cons are of something. You know, that's us weighing it, looking at it clearly, trying to decide what's the right thing to do. Because what we have to understand is a decision that I make, you know, right now, any decision that I make is going to affect Yolanda. And it's going to affect Paley. And I've got to realize that what decisions I make are not just about me. It's not just about things that affect my life, that it affects other people's life. And that's why it's so important to weigh the decision, to make sure we see it carefully, examining all sides of it. And unfortunately, in decision making, as we're trying to decide what to do, there are going to be pros and cons to everything. Now, there may be an opportunity where you can have this job and you're going to get a lot more money and it's going to help you and your family so much more because you have all this much more money with this job. But then guess what? I'm not going to be able to attend services as much. I'm not going to be able to see my family as much. I'm not going to be able to tuck my kids in at night. I'm not going to be able to see their ball games. Whatever it is. And that's why we have to decide, what are we going to do? Is the good worth experiencing the bad? But in saying all of that, as we started out with the illustration, we have to go ahead and decide. We can't let just life kind of make the decision for us. If we don't decide on that job, go ahead and decide on it, it's going to be gone. Somebody else is going to want to come and take it. Or something else in our life. It's going to pass. It's not going to, the opportunity's not always going to be there. So we have to continue to go ahead and make it, and we can't be afraid to make the decision. I think to myself, and this is just one example, about the Wright brothers. If you ever thought about the Wright brothers, they build this airplane. How are they going to figure out if the airplane works? Are they just going to leave it sitting there and look at it all day and say, wow, what a beautiful airplane I just made. Because of that airplane, people will be able to fly through the sky. Well, the only way they're going to know if that's going to work is to get up and try to fly. To open the door, to get inside of it, to get in the air and to fly. And to do that, might crash. It might go all the way up and then die and fall flat. They didn't know. But they had to make the decision, which was a difficult decision for them to make. But they had to make that decision. And the fact is, as we said, we're not always going to make the right choice because we are human. But with whatever choice we make, we're going to have to live with the consequences of it. You know, if we decide that we're going to take this job, then we're going to have to make the best of that job. If bad things come up, whatever, we're going to have to deal with that. That doesn't mean we can't eventually work to get another job, but we're going to have to live with those consequences. If I decide I'm going to move to Oregon, then I would have to live with whatever comes with that. If I get up there and hate it, then I would have to live with that. I'm not moving to Oregon. That's just an example. But the idea is, whatever we decide to do, whether it's to move or to change a job or to change what your degree is at school or whatever it is, you make the decision with what you know and then live with it. Make the best of it. Live your life. Be happy with it. Be content, as the Bible teaches, with all that we do. But again, I already told you, we're saying all of this to get to the most important point. The decision as to whether or not we are going to be Christians. That's the most important decision we can make. And to become a Christian is definitely the right one. But once we are Christians, to remain Christians, that is the right decision to make. That we stay Christians. Now, we already looked at the example of Joshua giving the people the choice. Are you going to follow these false gods, or are you going to serve God? It's just that simple. For us, are we going to serve the world, or are we going to serve God? Are we going to be forgiven of our sins, or are we going to remain in our sins? Are we going to live the way the world wants us to live, or are we going to live the way God wants us to live? Now, we initially make that decision when we become Christians or we don't become Christians. That's the initial part of it. But once we decide, for those who have, once we decide to become Christians, it doesn't stop with that. We decide every day we live, every choice we make, every temptation that comes upon us. Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow the world? Are we going to listen to Satan, or are we going to serve God? All through our lives, we make those decisions every day. More than once a day. Because Satan is working, and he's striving to get us away from God. But remember, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, God is knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. When he's knocking at the door, we have the decision to open the door or to leave him out. Are you going to leave God out of your life, or are you going to welcome him in? Again, that's not just initially in becoming a Christian. That's every day of our life. What are we going to do? What decision are we going to make? And the last passage I want us to look at is 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him." It's just that simple. If the Lord is God, follow Him. Are you going to falter between two opinions? Are you going to go back and forth? Are you going to stay on the fence? Or are you going to go ahead and make the decision? I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to live like a Christian. I'm going to live every day like a Christian. If you believe that Christ died for you, follow Him. If you understand that you are a sinner and need salvation, follow Him. If you want to go to heaven, follow Him. Let's make the right decision. Let's decide to be Christians. I hope that you are. I hope that you have made that decision. And here is the invitation as Joshua gives it to us, which still applies for us today. Won't you decide to become a Christian? Repent of your sins, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you've already done that, live every day for Him. Live your life for Him. Make the decision to live faithfully to Him. If you need to repent because you haven't been doing that, pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. We're certainly here to help you in any way. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing? I hear the same.